Inshallah, next I would like to introduce our beloved scholar, Imam Zayd Shaker, who has, alhamdulillah, been serving the Muslim community for many years. I had the opportunity of going on the rihla with him this summer, and subhanAllah, spending that much time with him has really touched my heart. Imam Zayd, subhanAllah, he really gave the time for all the students. He dedicated so much time for us, even when he was exhausted and tired. Imam Zayd Shaker.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته I want everyone to be extremely quiet. I want you to listen to something. Extremely quiet. You ready? Here we go. Alhamdulillah. I'd like to start off by making an advertisement that Dr. Jackson made for the first annual conference of MANA, Muslim Alliance of North America, in Philadelphia, November 2nd through the 4th, State of the Black American Muslim Community. And speaking on that subject, I'd like to just clarify for those who might need clarification, something that you might have thought Dr. Jackson said. May Allah preserve him and bless his family. Dr. Jackson was not advocating nationalism, black Muslim nationalism. How many of you understood that? He was not. You understood that? Okay. Alhamdulillah. They got it, Dr. Jackson. And I think the reason that, alhamdulillah, takbir for Dr. Jackson. Takbir. Takbir for Sheikh Yasir al-Qadi. Takbir. Takbir for yourselves. Takbir. Alhamdulillah, the reason you got it is because you're educated and you realize that our religion is a religion of diversity. And our religion is a religion that recognizes national distinction, tribal differences. However, it does not recognize agendas rooted in particular nationalities that negate, oppress, or disadvantage other people. But the fact that Dr. Jackson is referring to the African American Muslim community should make no one uncomfortable, because our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam referred to distinct national Muslim communities. Al imanu yamani, al hikmatu yamaniya. وَإِن تَتَوَلَّوْا يَسْتَبْدِلْ قَوْمًا غَيْرَكُمْ ثُمَّ لَا يَكُونُوا أَمْثَالَكُمْ هُوَ وَقَوْمُهُ يعني سلمان الفارسي. So Islam recognizes وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ شُعُوبًا وَقَبَائِلَ لِتَعَارَفُوا. We've made you into nations and tribes in order that you recognize God's power in seeing the diversity in each other. وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ خَلْقُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافُ أَلْسِنَتِكُمْ وَأَلْوَانِكُمْ إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِلْعَالِمِينَ. That amongst his signs is the creation of the heavens and earths and the variation of your languages and your colors. Surely in this are signs for knowledgeable people. So we should not be uncomfortable with recognizing the uniqueness and the existence of particular Muslim communities. This should not upset us. What should upset us if we don't have at a higher level a functional unity and a functional agenda that can bring those diverse communities together to do large things that no individual community can do in and of itself. That's what should upset us if we can't come together at the higher level. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when his armies marched out, the Aus had a banner, and the Khazraj had a banner, and the Muhajirin had a banner, and the various tribes had their banner, but they constituted a single army. And they recognized that that army was only as strong as the strength of its constituent elements. So each and every one of us as an individual, and as individual communities, we have to be strong and we have to support and strengthen each other. Now, I wanted to continue a theme that Altaf Hussein opened up, and that is money. Dr. Jackson is from Philadelphia. In Philadelphia, there was a group named that went by the name of the OJs. We're not talking Simpson football. We're talking the OJs, singers, and their most famous record. I'm not going to sing. Khurujan min al khilaf. Bum 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 bum. Come on, Dr. Jackson.
He wants to say it.
Money, 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 money. You're exposing yourselves. As if I'm not. Now, money, all of these wonderful things, indigenization takes money. Indigenization takes money. If the youth are going to do it, the MSA takes money. If it's going to be rooted in the experience of the African American community, that takes money. If it's going to be ISNA, it's going to take money. If it's going to be all of us, as it should be, it's going to take a lot of money. Sheikh Yasir al-Qadi, may Allah preserve him and give him a long life of service to this ummah. He talked about the history of Spain. Spain was the first major European power in a global sense. Why did Spain become a major power? Because they got access to a lot of money. It was called the gold and silver of the Americas. And they got access to that money with no investment whatsoever. Usually get money as a return on your investment. They got free money. They got free money from gold and silver, and they got free money from slavery. And as a result, they became a global economic power. Now I'm going to give you an indication of how events shape power. Why did Spain become a major power, and why did the power of Islam as a global community, as a global actor, wane simultaneously? And I have to do all of that in 3 minutes. Allahu Akbar. I will make efforts. No, 3 minutes. Brothers and sisters, this global, American-led global system is not the first global economic system. The old world, there was a global system. It extended from Scandinavia in the west to China in the east. And at the heart of that system was the Muslim world. And because the Muslim world was at the heart of that system that extended from Scandinavia through what is now Great Britain, the Iberian Peninsula, Italy, a very critical player. The center of the system was Egypt. And at the time, and we're talking about the first half of the 14th century AD, Egypt was the richest society on earth because it was at the heart of that system. Ibn Battuta traversed the entire realm of that system from the west, Tunja, Tangier, and Morocco, to the east, China. And there was a common culture that was created by Islam that held that system together. If that system had maintained its integrity, and if the money was flowing into the Muslim world from those overland trade routes, the old Silk Road, through the Saharan trade routes, if the gold that was, where was the, in that system, where was most of the gold coming from? In that system. From West Africa, from Mali. And it's no coincidence that during that period, the first half of the 14th century, 1324, that's when Mansa Musa made the Golden Hajj. The Malians had the most money, and as a result of having the most money, they had the biggest and the best universities. And those universities were indigenous African universities, Timbuktu and Gao and other centers of learning in West Africa. Indigenization takes money. If that system had remained intact, it's likely that the Muslim world would today be the technological and economic leaders of this world, because Spain, by getting money, had finance capital to invest in research and development and mines. The Muslim world had that money and was investing in research, development, and intellectual capitals. And as a result, they were a dominant power. But what happened to that system? And this shows Allah Ta'ala can send something that can disrupt everything. And that is why no one should ever be complacent. America should not be complacent. Where's the Soviet Union today? It's gone. What happened to that system? It was destroyed by a few mice and a couple of rats that started a phenomenon known as the bubonic plague. And once the plague started, and is theorized in the Himalaya region of northern Pakistan, it spread by the traders, it followed the trade route, and it decimated that entire system from China in the east to Scandinavia in the west. And its greatest impact was at the heart of the system, in Egypt, in Syria, in Palestine, in the heartland of Islam. That system was decimated by the bubonic plague, and it is in the ruins of that system that Spain began to rise. See, we have to understand this. A few mice and a few rats, and history changes. And history changes. The heartland of Islam, those sub-Saharan trade, the trans-Saharan rather, trading route, the Silk Road that traversed Asia. What happened with the rise of Spanish power? Number one, the economic center that was at the heart of the Muslim world was no longer the center. Now Western Europe was the center. America was one periphery, and now the Muslim lands were a periphery. The infusion of cash into that system led to the developments of navies and trading fleets. What did trading fleets do? They allowed the Spanish and then the Portuguese and then the Dutch and then the British to go around the Muslim world and to do it in a very rapidly, and the overland trading system collapsed. The trans-Saharan trading system, the salt and gold system, collapsed. And the Muslim world went into economic depression. And as a result, A power rose and a power declined. This is the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَتِلْكَ الْأَيَّامُ نُدَاوِلُهَا بَيْنَ النَّاسِ وَلِيَعْلَمَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَيَتَّخِذَ مِنْكُمْ شُهَدَاءُ وَاللَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ الظَّالِمِينَ. Allah says He alternates power and weakness, impotence and strength, power and strength, impotence, weakness, between peoples, between nations, to test us. Economics are critical. Brothers and sisters, as we talk about indigenization, as we talk about institutionalization, we need to talk about money and finance. The Prophet understood this, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. عَبَسَ وَتَوَلَّى أَنْ جَاءُهُ الْعَامَى. What was he doing? He was trying to get some money and some power. We think of the Muslim community that they were a group of dervishes, darawish. There were some dervishes, but there were some people with money. There was the first convert was who? Khadija radiallahu anha. Did she have money or did she not have money? She had money. Ali was a young lad. Zayd bin Haritha was young and a servant. After that, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Did he have money or did he not have money? He had money. And then he went and converted a bunch of his friends. Uthman bin Affan radiallahu anhu. Did he have money or did he lack money? He had money. Abdurrahman bin Auf. Did he have money or did he have no money? He had money. So the earliest community, they had resources to finance the process of indigenizing Islam in the Arabian Peninsula. They had resources, and brothers and sisters, we're going to need resources. And I only say this, that to say this, at every level, we have to sacrifice. We have to sacrifice our time. We have to sacrifice to develop our minds. We have to sacrifice to develop our hearts. And we have to sacrifice some money. So if you didn't write a check to MSA today, then pull out your checkbook and think again. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.